Yaakov Shimoni at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel quotes a medrash that reads, Rabbi Sein and Bali Agoda Omrim. The Bali Agoda pointed out, Mitzchilas HaTorah V'yad Sofo, if you look from the whole Chumash, Ein Parsha Shenema Berosh of Vayakel and Lezos Bovad. There's only one Parsha that's called Vayakel. Of course, every Parsha has a different name. It starts off with the I don't understand what the question is. Every parsha has a different name. Reish is not like what you have on the Rishon or the Sheni. You have Vayakel Lava, Vayakel Beis. So the Bali Agoda pointed out. So the answer is Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, because this part. Why is this parsha called Vayakel? Because the Torah wants to bring out the laws of Shabbos here, and on Shabbos this is special inyan of everybody gathering together and learning Torah. You have to have a public shiur on Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe's Kaladaz Bnei Yisrael. He gathered everybody together. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered everybody together on Shabbos, and he gave a public shiur. And we should all do the same as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made this takana. Mikan Omru, based on this pasuk, the Rabbi Sein Bali Agoda commented, Moshe Tikkun Am Yisrael. So he darshin the inyana shel yom hilchas Pesach v'Pesach hilchas Saseres v'Saseres hilchas Chag v'Chag. So it sounds like the medrash that they're understanding hilchas Shabbos b'Shabbos. That he's not supposed to have a shiur on Shabbos on Gemara Sanhedrin, on Gemara Beitza or whatever. Every Shabbos he's supposed to learn Hilchot Shabbos. The public shiur is supposed to be on Hilchot Shabbos. Every Shabbos the same thing. So 24 parakim of Shabbos is not going to be the same thing. It'll be a cheerful, it'll be levity. But it won't be boring, but the shiurim and the other mesichtos are supposed to be the rest of the week. On Shabbos he's supposed to learn Hilchot Shabbos, the Shabbos. That's interesting. The Ramban HaChumash has such a comment on Parshas and more. He says that the Yomim Tovim, Shabbos and Yomim Tovim are referred to as Mikra Kodesh. So he translates the words Mikra. The word Mikra means a day of holy assemblage. Mikra means to gather together, as it says, Eilu Kruei Ho'edo. These are the members of the board of the community. Kruei Ho'edo means whenever they would want to have a meeting, so these people would gather together. The Nesiyim, we refer to as Kruei Ho'edo. So the Ramban says that all the Shabbos and Yom Tovim are referred to as Mikra Kodesh, in the sense that day of holy assembly. What does it mean? Everyone should gather together for Tfilah B'Tzibur and for Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. Supreme Gaon points out that it's a little, it's an interesting point that the Rambam holds that Tfilah B'Chol Yom is Deraisa. The Ramban holds Tfilah B'Chol Yom is only the Rabbanan. But Tfilah B'Tzibur on Shabbos and Yom Tov is Deraisa. Tfilah B'Tzibur. That's what Ramban says, Mikra Kodesh, a day of holy assemblage to gather together for holy matters, namely to have Tfilah B'Tzibur and to have Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. You should have Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You should be at Rosh HaChacham on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Ramban holds that that's a din deraisa. The Medrash says it as if Moshe was made the Takana. We can't almost, that's the Lashon HaGemara. Moshe Tikkun Am Yisrael. The last Gemara Megillah has like that. But the that it says that Shabbos is part of that takana. Only a takana is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Beis Yosef in Hilchos Pesach writes that he thinks that the Misadri HaTfilo, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, whoever it was who composed the Nusach HaTfilo of the Shmona Esrei, he thinks that they agree with the Ramban, because in the Shmona Esrei for Shabbos and Yom Tov we use the phrase Mikra Kodesh. So if the phrase Mikra Kodesh is the way it means in the Gemara Kacheh Basias Malacha, you should observe a Kedushas Hayam not to do Malacha. So why did we mention that phrase in the Davening, in the Shmona Esrei? But if the phrase, if the Pshutash on Mikra is the way the Ramban takes it, Mikra Kodesh, a day of holy assemblage, that everyone should gather together for the purpose of Tfilah B'Tzibur, that's one, Tfilah B'Tzibur and Talmud Torah B'Tzibur, so then we understand why in the Davening and the Shmona Esrei we refer to Shabbos and Yom Tov as Mikra Kodesh, because the Davening is preferable, that it should be B'Tzibur. People tell me they're going on trips to Alaska, to Puerto Rico, and they tell me in advance, there's not going to be any minions. So how do they go there for Shabbos and for Yom Tov? We're going to a place where there's no sukkah for sukkahs, where there's no matzah for Pesach. We're going to Siberia. So that's terrible. Years ago we used to cry about the Jews who were in Siberia. No, but there's no minion, there's no matzah. Now the Jews run to Puerto Rico, they run to Alaska, places where there's no minion. Special minion to have Tfilah B'Tzibur and Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. Torah writes again the expression, Sheish Yisrael v'Tiasem Alachot, Bayom HaShvi'i Alachem Not allowed to call us about malacha yomos. Why is it right in the passage? Sheish yisalim teyaseh malacha. It should say, sheish yisalim taseh malacha. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta that Amir Eliyakim is awesome. Rashi has a few times in the Mechilta as such a Rashi. Yeah, Amir Eliyakim is only awesome at the Rabbanah. 6 days of the week, you can do malacha, you can have a goy do malacha for you. I have a business and it's all run by goy. And on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to do malacha, I'm not allowed to have the goy do malacha for you. That's only with the Rabbanah. What's the pshat on the level of the Raisin? Why it uses the passive, sheish yisalim teyaseh malacha? So the Netziv always writes like a Tana, he dies from Tzukim like a Tana. So he says that the Pasuk is referring to Asiyas HaMishkan. Rashi quotes from the Mechilta that you're allowed to do Malacha on 6 days, but on Shabbos not, even for the purpose of Asiyas HaMishkan. So the question is, what if I have a Goy? If I'm merely Yatim as Mutam and Ateres, I'll have a Goy, build a Mishkan on Shabbos. So the Stam Asiyas HaMishkan needs Asiyah Lishma. So you can't have a goy do it. So I'll do another trick. I'll get a Shabbos clock. I'll set a Shabbos clock in such a way, or I'll start a malacha on Erev Shabbos, and it'll continue into Shabbos. Let's say the tzviya of the chelos v'agama v'talas shani. The tzviya has to be, everything has to be lishma. V'yosu li migdosh, v'yosu li mishkan, li lishmi. Everything has to be asiyah lishma. So let's say I'll set up a system where the tzviya begins on Erev Shabbos, the mishnah in the end of the first parashah of Shabbos. Quotes the machlokes is b'sham and b'sul about that. Are you allowed to set up a system where you put the cloth, the raw material, the raw wool, let's say, into the vat with the dye a minute before lichtenshin, and then it's going to absorb the dye through the course of Shabbos? So b'sul will say that is permissible. We pass like b'sul, that is permissible. So Netziv says, yes, permissible, I'm permissible, marvel. But it won't be kosher for the Mishkan, because the pasuk says teyaseh sheish yisalim teyaseh malacha. Even if the malacha shenasis me'aleho, you set up a system on Erev Shabbos, you're not being mechal Shabbos. Just the asiyas on Mishkan may not take place on Shabbos, even believe malacha. There is such a similar concept in Yerushalmi and Daman Adlikin, that if you have truma tameya, so it's a mitzvah to burn it. Truma tameya is a mitzvah that the kohanim should eat it, and truma tameya it's a mitzvah to burn it. And the Gemara has a brayson b'manan adlikin which says that kishem she mitzvah lisrof es hakashim she nitmu, kach mitzvah lisrof es hatruma she nitmu. Just like there's a mitzvah to burn karbonis out of nitma, people nice to tell me there's a mitzvah to burn. So too kach mitzvah lisrof es hatruma she nitmu. Kishem kach sounds like it's a din deraisa. So there's a machlokes of Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos. Does it really mean 2 days in Tosfos? Does it really mean that it's a din deraisa? Mitzvah of kach mishinikmu is a mitzvah deraisa. The sarafkas on oisa reish, pigal oisa tam is a mitzvah deraisa to burn. So the deraisa means to say too that there's a mitzvah deraisa to burn truma tamei. No, just like there's a mitzvah deraisa, so to the hachamim instituted a mitzvah derabanan to burn the truma. So it's 2 days in Tosfos and banan adli. Fine. So the Gemara and Baman Adlikin, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, have a drasha that you're not allowed to burn shemen sreifa. Shemen sreifa means shemen shal truma shenitmes. It's called shemen sreifa because it's a mitzvah to burn it, to destroy it. So the din is when a kohen has truma tameya, he's not allowed to eat it, he's allowed to burn it, and he's permitted to be nana from the heat or from the light at the time that he burns it. Let's say he'll have shemen shel truma shenitmes, and he wants to burn it with a wick and to use the illumination. So he's permitted to be nana liyara ner while it's burning, even though it's tomei, that's permissible. Or let's say he wants to use it la'asikra tachas tavshilo, he wants to use it as fuel to cook some food. So the Gemara learns out from the pasuk that that's permissible. The kohen is permitted. A non-kohen is not allowed to. The Mishnah says in Trumas that once the kohen, if you're using shemen sreifa to illuminate the street, and there's one kohen who lives on the block, and he's nana from the Oraneh, so then the Gemara has the klal, ner le'echad, ner le'beya. That's what that klal is. As long as one kohen is getting hanor from it, so then Yisraelim are also permitted to get hanor. There's no violation if Yisrael gets hanor from the, if you have a block, a location where no kohanim live there at all, and you're going to burn shemen sreifa only for the hanor of the, and only non-kohanim are going to get hanor from it, so that's not permissible. But if you're burning it in a location in a block where there are kohanim there, and kohanim are getting hanor, so the yisraelim are also permitted to get hanor at the same time because ne'er le'echad ne'er le'meyer. So the Mishnah says that ema likum shemis reifa biyamtiv. Like you're not allowed to burn shemis in Bemelik, you're not allowed to burn shemis reifa biyamtiv. So the pashtus in the Bavli is that it's a malacha. On Yontif, the Lamates Malachas apply. So Hadlakas HaNeir is Mutar on Yontif. That's like a Chol Nefesh, it's a Chayom Ksas, if it's dark in the house. And you want to strike a match, he's also Medir Rabbanon, most Chol Mishnah says you're not allowed to be molded Eish Mechadish. But if there already is a fire, you want to light this stick from an already existing fire on Yontif, if you need it and it's dark, then it's permissible. So that's Letzarech of Mutar. But what happens if you're making a flame on Yontif only for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of beer kachim shenitnu or beer tumah shenitnu? So then there's no hanor, then it's not a chonefesh and it's not tzarech hayom ksas, and you're not allowed to. So what about over here, if the person has shemen sreifa and shemen shel tumah shenitnu and he wants, the kohen has it, and he wants to burn it to kill two birds with one stone? He wants to burn it to fulfill the mitzvah of beer shemen sreifa, kishem shemitzu lusav is a kachim shenitnu, kach mitzu lusav is a tumah shenitnu, wants to fulfill the mitzvah of burning the Shemin Sureka, and he wants to also get Hanoah from it at the same time. So getting Hanoah from it on Yanta makes it into Tzarech HaYom Ksas. If he wants to use it Lasika Tach Tavshilai, then it's Mamshach HaNefesh. So would you say that it's permissible? So the Gemara says, no, that's not permissible. You don't say that since you're getting personal Hanoah, so it's called Tzarech HaNefesh, Tzarech HaYom Ksas, that the whole thing is Mutar. We say, no, that since it's a mitzvah to burn it, you're fulfilling the mitzvah via Truma Tameya, even though the din allows you, at the same, the din permits you, but you're also permitted to burn it without getting an anor. You can burn shumat tamei without getting an anor. So hetter, if you want to get on it, shemen sreifa as a lachem loy lagavoya. It's not called dochal nefesh. Achashi yosel lachem hu levado yosel lachem. Achashi yosel lachal nefesh hu levado yosel lachem. You're permitted to do malach on yontes if you get a anor. So dochal nefesh means if the main purpose of the malach is dochal nefesh. Here the main purpose is gear of kachim shenitmu. Or be a true mishenitmis. This happens to be a side point. The Allah permits you. The Torah allows you to get a claim. Torah allows the claim to get anoa from the burning of the truma at the same time. So when you learn the Gemara, I'm not leaking the Bavli. The pashtus in the Bavli is the name. I'm not leaking beyond that is because it's an isamot of shiva. So Taisa says that's a secondary intention. The main intention is I label the act of burning the Shemes Reifa as the mitzvah biyur kachim shenitmo biyur Shemes Reifa, and that's called a hemelo lagavoyah. That's a violation. That's the pashtus. The Rishami on that Mishnah has a chiddush that all the Akronim point out. Shami says Eim Adlikim Shemes Reifa biyantiv means the balabaster is benching licht on erev yantiv, the Shemes Reifa, and the Shemes Reifa is going to burn into yantiv. He's not violating any malach at all. You're allowed to light candles. We all know you're permitted to light candles on Erev Shabbos. You don't say Yishev Mishim Chiksev that is considered as if the balabaster who lit the candles is continuing to burn the candles on Shabbos. We don't say that. So nonetheless, the Yishami says that's included in the prohibition in Mishnah. Ein madlikim Mishem Mitzreifa b'yontev means Erev Yontev. He's going to light candles on Erev Yontev Mishem Mitzreifa. So you're not allowed to because it's going to burn into Yontev. And the halacha says that the mitzvah beer kachim shenitmu is not supposed to be fulfilled on Shabbos Yontif. Not only that you shouldn't do the act of beer on Shabbos Yontif, not only that it's not Bechi Yontif, even if you did the ma'aseh beer on Erev Yontif, you're not doing any malacha. You lit the flame on Erev Yontif, but it's going to burn into Yontif. So that's not a time of fulfillment of this mitzvah. So the Nitziv has such a similar chiddush over here on this pasuk. He darshans psukim like a tana. That's what I was told. Chavos Chaim was not so happy about all of the Netziv's original chidushim. He darshans mamash like a tana. Sheish is yom and teaseh malocha v'yom ashri yalachem koydi shabbos shabbos and etc. Teaseh. And the nitfal means that if you set up the system on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have the Mishkan completed. If you set up a malocha on Erev Shabbos, that it should continue into Shabbos, so usually that's permissible. The halacha is like b'silul against the Beishamai. But if it's the malacha that you're doing is for the purpose of Asiyas HaMishkan, so the zman of Asiyas HaMishkan is only b'chol. You're not yet to the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMishkan b'Shabbos, even though you set up the whole system on Erev Shabbos just continuing into Shabbos. You're not permitted to do it. What is the Yisr Malacha of Shabbos all about? So the Pesukim and the Aseres Hadib is given the two different reasons. Once it says, Zachar Kekevet HaYisr B'Eretz Mitzrayim, that we used to work so hard in the Baruch Shem Frida, so Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we are no longer Avodim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Yatzienu L'Chei Ritzoylam, He took us out to be free. And the other Pasuk says that it's Zechel Abriya Shamayim V'Oretz. How come the Alamed Tes Avos Malachis? So we visualize as if the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he created the world, did Lamed Tes activities, as if he did 39 different activities. That's how they quote the name of the Vilna Gaon on the Tehillim that will be recited by some people this Shabbos in the shuls, the Tehillim for Parshas Shkolim. Echein l'chassal kedushi ke'ator kedosh Yisrael u'moshia in Shachris. I think here in Yeshiva they only say Musaf, but they don't say it all. I don't remember what they don't say anything. Not Shachris, not Musaf. But they have some shuls they only say Musaf. Anyway, so in some shuls they even say Shachris. They even say Piyut and Mashachris. So in Shachris there is a Piyut right before Kedusha. Odra Yisro v'safarta v'hechanta v'chakarta v'madarata v'chalta v'shakalta. Very strange Piyut. It has 39 verbs one after the other. What is this all about? So the Vilna Gaon said that the Python is imagining the Ribbono Shel Olam creating the world with 39 activities. Chori Zareya Kaitza Dosh Mamre, etc., etc. It's a little humorous. What do you mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam did Chori Zareya Kaitza Dosh Mamre. He didn't do that. But he did 39 activities, so that's why he prohibited us from doing 39 activities. So that's why the Python imagines the Ribbono Shel Olam is creating the world with these 39 activities. Ra'isa, Safarta, Hechanta, Chakarta, and he goes in order, 39 activities, one after the other. We usually assume, like the Gemara says, that the 39 Malachis are based on the Mishkan. The Gemara in the first half in Bava Kamma says, Ach David Mishkan Chashiva Kor Layab, Ach Dolai Havi Mishkan Chashiva. Because all the laws of Shabbos are learned out from the Mishkan. It says you're not allowed to do any malacha, even for the purpose of Asiyas HaMishkan. So it implies that everything that was involved in the Mishkan constitutes a malacha. That's what the Gemara says here, the Yalkut Shimoni on today's said. It quotes this from the Gemara in Shabbos. Heim Zoru Ein chayavim ela al malacha shekayetze b'hoisa b'mishkan. That's the brisa maaseh Shabbos dafnun aleph, I think. Heim zaru, in the Mishkan they had to plant things in order to get the vegetables, the dyes for the different cloth. Atem los yizro. Heim kotzro, they had to do ktsir atem los yitzro. Heim helos hakroshim mikar for lagola. Atem lo tachnisu mishusayam mishusayachar. Heim hoshita was hakroshim yagola lagola. Atem lo toshita mishusayachar mishusayachar. Heim to be commanded mishusayachar. And so on and so forth. And the Gemara Chagiga quoted by the next passage in the Alkut Shimani, the Hilch. It's a Mishnah in Chagiga. Hilcha Shabbos are kahararim hapluyim disayro. The Mishnah says that there are some halachas that are only known through halacha l'mashe m'sinai, Torah Shabbat Peh. There's no makom at all. That's called in the Mishnah parkas bo'avir. The Mishnah says hetan adarim parkas bo'avir. Hetan adarim parkas bo'avir. What do you mean parkas bo'avir? It was transmitted by Peh from generation to generation orally, and there's no makom at all in the Chumash. You can't even read it in between the lines. There's no drash at all. The Gemara quotes other Tanoim who disagree and say no, that it is nidrash from the Pesukim. You can learn it out from the Pesukim. Various Pesukim that they learn it out from Torah, from Bim, from Pesukim, the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga holds that Atar Sundarim is purely halacha l'mashe m'sinai. It's not based on any drush at all. That's the definition, the Rambam's definition of halacha l'mashe m'sinai. A din that is transmitted orally that has absolutely no method of darkening it out from the Pesukim. And then that Mishnah says that sometimes you have there are some halachas that are kimat mefurish in the Pesukim. The Mishnah says most of the dinim of Tzaras are mefurish in the Pesukim. So if you have a suffix what the din is, so the Mishnah says look in the Chumash and paskin based on the Chumash. But if you have Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Chagig, it says kahararim hatluyim v'sayra. It's like big mountains that are suspended on a hair. That's hot mikra muat for halachas merubas. There's hardly any pasuk at all. So the Mishnah gives an example of by Mi'ila and by Chagiga and by Hilcha Shabbos. Lama says all this. So the Gemara explains the Mishnah. What do you mean Hilcha Shabbos or Karam atluim b'sayra? Why do you have so many dinim based on a hair, on a thread? Because the pasuk that says Malachas Machshavos, you have so many details in Hilchos Shabbos are based on the concept of Malachas Machshavos also Torah, and that pasuk Malachas Machshavos doesn't even appear in connection with Shabbos. It appears in connection with the Mishkan. But we assume that everything that was needed for the Mishkan, Hachta Mishkan Hashiva, Korei Layav. So the Tanaim say in the Gemara that the 39 Malachas, maybe we visualize the Rabbanu Shel Olam as creating the world, maybe we visualize him as creating the world with 39 activities. But the 39 activities in Bria Shemayim Va'aretz, the Pashtus is they weren't any activities, they were just Amira. And the Mamaris don't mean the Rabbanu Shel Olam spoke either. It doesn't mean that he spoke, it means that he expressed his desire. Whatever that means, we're not so sure either. When you have a human being expressing a wish, give it, make a wish, and whatever your wish is will be fulfilled. Whatever. So that we understand more or less what it means. A human being makes a wish, a Rabbanu Shel Olam makes a wish. He wishes there would come a world, and poof, the world came into existence. So what exactly does it mean? We're not sure. But it doesn't mean that he really did activities. So we're not sure what this means. And the Mishnah says, Basar Mamaris Nivahoyim, there were 10. How did the Titan all of a sudden make it into 39? He made it to 39 because he wanted to make Lamentes Malach. But the Lamentes don't correspond to his really serious. We're not sure exactly. But the Gemara says, the Lamentes Malachas were all in the Mishkan. Everything was part of the Asiyas HaMishkan. One of the things that they did in the Mishkan was Heim Helos Akrashim Mikarka Lagora Atem Lo Tachnisu Mishu Serab Mishu Sayoch Heim Oshitus Akrashim Miagola Lagola Atem Lo Toshita Mishu Sayoch Mishu Sayoch Echad Dike Bamsa Mishu Serabim. This was considered also a Chelik of Asiyas HaMishkan. This is not interesting that the Masoros, the traveling in the Midbar, which was a Hayruah Shoah, it wasn't a Din Lagaris at all. That was a Hayruah Shoah of what? So we usually assume it was a Hayruah Shoah of traveling. How are you supposed to travel? So the Gemara, the Kama Mekana says, no, the traveling in the Midbar was a Hayruah Shoah of Asiyas HaMishkan. The whole purpose of the traveling, one would have thought, oh, it's the mitzvah of Aliyah, to move to Eretz Yisrael. You move to Eretz Yisrael, go by boat, you go by plane, you go Superman, you fly, whatever. No. So here there was a Hayruah Shoah, how you have to travel with the Mishkan, it has to be in this formation, you got to go this city, that city, that city. So one might have thought it's a Hayruah Shoah of how to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah, Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is not going this Aliyah. It wasn't a Hayruah Shoah of moving territory. It was a Hayruah Shoah of Binyan HaMishkan. When they were traveling, so later they were going to erect the Mishkan in a new location. That's what it says in the Farish here. Heim Zaru. Ein chayav mel al malach shekiyetsa b'chayisem ha-mishkan. Hein zoratem lo tizro. Hein klatratem lo tiktsaru. And all the malachas. And then it says, emotzi mishus lishus. And Moshit were also on the Mishkan. Where was it in the Mishkan? The traveling in the Midbar. So the Tanoim, the Mishnah is like that. Mishnah is and Brises. Shkein Masa b'nei Levi. Masa. Shkein Masa b'nei Kos. The Gemara learns that dina from Masa b'nei Kos in connection with Hoytzor. So you see that all of the Hayuah Shoah of traveling in the Midbar was all the Hayruah Shoah of the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMishkan. It's a special way how to build the Mishkan. What does the Mishkan got to do with Malach HaShabbos? The Chumash gives two reasons for Malach HaShabbos. One is Zeichel Abri HaShamayim Ba'aretz, and one is Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a Chayat to Kevin HaYisah B'aretz Mitzrayim, that Bashlam said you're free, L'chei V'soylam. So one day you take off. You show that you're a free man, that you're not a slave. You take a vacation. Some people work 7 days a week. Rav Shalom doesn't want us to work 7 days a week. Remember that you're a free man. You made you free l'cheir esaylam. So how does the Mishkan come in over here? So the Mefarshim, Mefarshim say that the Mishkan is considered an olam katan in a certain sense. That just like the Rav Shalom created the world, it's hard to say that Rav Shalom created the world with 39 gerovim basar mamaris in the olam. So we're not sure what that means. But the Mishkan, Asiyas HaMishkan, was done with 39 pu'ulos. That the Gemara says, that's what the Tanaim say. And Asiyas HaMishkan is considered somehow a parallel to the creation of the whole wide world. There is such a Medrash Taka also in the Yalkut Shimoni, that when the Rabbanu Shel Olam created the world, the Pesukim say in Chumash that he created it, v'shloshu dvarim halala nivru u'shamayim ba'aretz. Yalkut Shemani Kof Yud Beis in Parshas Vayakov. When the Rabbanu Shel Olam created, Yalkut Shemani is a likut of different midrashim. Different, sometimes it's a Gemara, sometimes a Yerushalmi. Sometimes it's a sept, and sometimes obscure midrashim. Like the first one about Mako Kehilas is a medish apkir. That's in the more popular midrash. So he wrote it. This is also on Agadah. This is also on medish somewhere. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, b'shlosh edvarim halalu, b'chochma, bina, and das, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim v'aretz, and he quotes Pesukim, b'shlosh edvarim halalu, the Ribbono Shel Olam saw to it that B'tzalel ben Aholiyah made the Mishkan, b'chochma, bina, and das. And then in later generations, b'shlosh edvarim halalu, chochma, bina, and das, nasa beis hamikdash, and he quotes Pesukim from Sefer Melachim. And then it concludes that b'shlosh edvarim halalu, but these three kishreinus, or chochma, bina, and das, also that Kadosh Baruch Hu to build the third Beis HaMikdash. Boilam Abo, that's the way he created Boilam Azeh, the Mishkan, and that's the way he, the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Rishon, it leaves out the Beis Sheni. Maybe there was no Chachman Din Adas including making the Beis Sheni, there were so many things missing. But the Beis HaShlishi, Lasi Lavoi, the Medrash Ein Zof, will be created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lasi Lavoi, with these three things. So somehow the Midrashim seem to allude to the fact that there is a parallel between Bria Shamayim V'aretz, and Asiyas HaMishkan, as if the Mishkan is an Olam Tachan, as if the Mishkan represents the whole world. So that's why observing these Lamites prohibitions, the Lamites Malachas, which were involved in Asiyas HaMishkan, is going to constitute a Zeichel of Bria Shamayim Ha'aretz, because Asiyas HaMishkan is somehow a parallel to Asiyas Kol Olam Kulay. That's what the Tanoim seem to have understood over here. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos, in the beginning of Perek HaZoreg, raises a question. We know that there are Lamites Avos Malachas. We know that everything was in the Mishkan, as we just said. Heim Zoru, Atem Lo Tizro. Heim Kotzer, Atem Lo Tizro. Heim Helu Kroshim Yikarkala Lagola, Atem Lo Totsir, Mishus HaYochel, Mishus HaRam, and so on and so forth. So then the Gemara asks, so everything was in the Mishkan, including Hotzor. So the Gemara asks, but where is the pasuk about Hotzor? So Tosfos says, why do you need a pasuk about Hotzor? You don't have a pasuk about the other 38 malachas. You know that whatever was hachta had in Mishkan Hashiva is a malacha, and you know that they did Hotzor in the Mishkan. You know that they did Hotzor in the Mishkan. The Hotzor wasn't in the Asiyas HaMishkan, the Hotzor was in the Masoros, which is that the Tanoim assumed is a chelik, is a hayrasha of Asiyas HaMishkan. So we already have established that Hotzor is a malacha. What did the Gemara ask? Hotzor hecher emizo. So the Gemara answers, the Hotzor hecher emizo, the answer is from this pasuk. The Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not pasuk shat at all in the pasuk. The pasuk says that they were donating so much. There was dai v'hoisa, there was too much. There was enough to make the Mishkan, and there was more than enough. By Avira called Mamachna, so they made an announcement with the congregation, please stop giving donations, we don't need any more. So they stopped donating money. So that's the Pasuk Pshat and the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, another level of interpretation is that the Pasuk means to say, we said the whole Parshas Vayakel was a shir in Hilchos Shabbos, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave on Shabbos Barabin. He gave a shir Barabin apparently every Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos. They go to all the dinim. So he said in the shir that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. The people should no longer carry anything. He wasn't talking about Chori Zareyat Koy Tadosh, now he's talking about Hoytzor. No one should carry, because there was no Erev in the Midbar, and it was a Rishus HaRam there, right? So he told him, you're not allowed to carry. So that's the marker for Hoytzor. So Tosfos says, why didn't you need a marker for Hoytzor? He just said, whatever was in the Mishkan is a Malachah. And we know that Hoytzor is also in the Mishkan, because Tanoim understood that the Masoros was a Hayroah Shoah of Asiyas HaMishkan. So why do you have to have that marker? That Malachas Hotzor should be explicit in the Chumash, it's not explicit, should be Remiza, Vehechan Remiza. So Tosfos answers on that Gemara at the beginning of Perek HaZorek. He said, because Hotzor is a Malacha Gruy. That's what the Tosfos and the other Rishonim came up with such a Chiddush expression. I don't think it appears in the Gemara anywhere. But Tosfos and the Rishonim coined an expression. Hotzor is a Malacha Gruy. From all Olam HaTes Avos Malachas, Hotzor is a Malacha Gruy. So even though it wasn't in Mishkan, it's part of Asiyas. As part of Asiyas HaMishkan, the Gemara's Lashmas Hachta Ben Mishkan Chashiva, Kareliyav, Hachta Ben Mishkan Chashiva, whatever was not an important activity in the Mishkan was not an av malacha. So one would have thought, haitzah is a malacha gruah, that's not chashiva. It shouldn't be an av, it shouldn't be a tol, it shouldn't be anything. Everything. I'm sure somebody had a running nose who'd wipe his nose off in the mitzvah. You're going to say, they wiped their nose off, and now they're wiping their nose on Shabbos. Because they wiped their nose, shouldn't fall on the areas, on the big day kuna. No, so you don't say everything that they did. Only hachta the mishkan hashiva, the significant things. Some in the middle of making the asiyas mishkan had to go to the bathroom also. So you're going to say, going to the bathroom is a malacha. No, it's not. Everything they did is not a malacha. So that's what Taisus says. That one might have argued the point and said, although there was haitzah in the Mishkan, but the Gemara's lashon above the Kama only was hachtav in the Mishkan Hashiv. In fact, the Gemara Shabbos points out on Ayin Dalet or Ayin Hey, that there were some things in the Mishkan that the Tanoim say were not Hashiva, and therefore it's not a separate malacha. Maybe a told of something else. But there were many other activities in the Mishkan. Not everything that was in the Mishkan is considered malacha. So that's why the Gemara had to have a separate pasuk. The dash in a separate pasuk that, despite the fact that Hoysah is really a malacha grua, the pasuk says that it is included in the list of malachas on Shabbos. The Prima Gadim in the Psicha Kalelis makes a suggestion. I think we must have said it when we were learning this Gemara that we're up to, the next Gemara that we're up to. That the question is, every malacha has a shiur on Shabbos, most of the malachas. Some of them, the shiur is kosher. Bone koshu, Chorish koshu, but most of the malachas have a shiur. So the question is, what if you do a malacha to the tune of a chatzis shiur? Would you say the chatzis shiur asim in Atayra or not? In the first daf, in the last parak in Yuma, there is a machleik that Yechon and Shlokish, where the chatzis shiur is asim in Atayra, chatzis shiur is asim in the Rabbanon. That machleik is regarding Achila b'Yom HaKippurim. And we assume who adinam the achilas macholas asur chelu v'dam. The Gemara makes it clear that it's by macholas, by all macholas asur, even by Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur, one could have argued the point and said, by Yom Kippur, it doesn't say lo yisachlu. It says the nisim. So if a person eats, and the whole shiur of tikoseves hagaso, how come the shiurim for achilas shvi on Yom Kippur are different from kol ha-terakula? How come for drinking the shiur is by not abandoning? And the shiur for achila is larger than the shiur kezayis. Kol ha-terakula, the shiur achila is kezayis. Here it's larger. It's koseves agasu. So the Gemara is, how come the shiur are all kakayim here? How come as here by Yom Kippur, it's not really an isur achila. So it's dinner based on the inisim, inui. The kin luhul rabbanon, the chachamim establish that that's the shiur for inui. By shtiyah it's malay lugmav, and by achila it's koseves agasu. So one, some services, one could have argued the point very well. If not for the Gemara, one would have argued the point and said, that's it. What are you going to say? Chatzis shiur asim in atur. But if that's the shiur for inui, so if you have less than that, so by definition, there's no inui. By achila macholas asuris. So you said chatzis shiur is asim in atur. Okay. He self kosof. He is eating it, but he didn't eat the sufficient volume. So that's only an isa. You can argue it's an isa deraita and isa derabbanan. But by inui hasvar no senes, the chatzis shiur should not make any sense at all. So it's like carrying. It's like a chatzis malacha. It's like carrying base amis. The Niri says, you don't say chatzis shiur asim atur, the guy carries beis amis. That's a chatzis malacha, it's not a chatzis shiur. It's a shiur nekudah. It's not a shiur mitzarif, to use the terminology of the Ragachov. He says, Ragachov writes in a few places, the only place where it makes sense to say the chatzis shiur asim atur is when you have a shiur mitzarif. Basically, you're doing the thing that you're not allowed to do, but you didn't accumulate enough of a volume of it in order to get Nisa, Malkus, or Chorus, or whatever the punishment happens to be. So that's the halacha we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, chatzis shiur asim atur. But when it's a shiur nekudah, less than this, you don't have the thing. The shiur is needed in order to bring about a certain matzav. So less than that, you don't have that matzav. So like mavadal anamis b'shusharam, that's a shiur nekudah. Less than dal anamis, you didn't do havari, you didn't do anything. So you don't say chatzis shiur asim atur. So one could have, the Chassam Seif on Yuma writes, one could have argued a point and said that over here it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Yechanan to say Chatzis Shiur Asim Atar. So he says, that's why the Gemara, the Chassam Seif writes, that's why the Gemara was Kaveh on the Machlokes of Rabbi Yechanan Mishlog is the first stop. And the last Perek in Yuma to tell you this chiddush, that even on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yechanan still holds the Chatzis Shiur Asim Atar. So the question is, in Hilchos Shabbos, when you have all of these malachas, on Shabbos, most of which require a certain shear, what if one will do the malacha with less than a shear? Let's say hoitzor. You always have a shear, how big this the volume should be. Is it fruit? Is it Michael Behemoth that you carry? Is it metal? Is it wood? Is it plastic? Everything has a different shear. So what if I carry less than a shear? A person, well, does whatever, disha, kotze, whatever malacha he does to the tune of a chatzi shear. Would you say chatzi shear asman atar? Would you say chatzi shear is asman rabban? That's a question. So the Gemara says, b'feirish in zvachim, that by hoitzor, if a person carries a chatzi shear, he's not chayes because of a lack of malachas nashevis. Since malachas nashevis are soteira, so if you carry chatzi shear, it's a lack of malachas nashevis. So the Gemara is b'feirish, that it's only an issur d'rabbanan. Because whenever you carry, whenever you have a lack of malachas nashevis, if you do malacha kalacha yad, you do malacha bin mekalkal, whenever there's a lack of malachas nashevis are soteira, then the whole issur is only d'rabbanan. So the question is, that Gemara in Zvachim happens to be speaking about Hoitzor. Did the Gemara restrict its comments only to Hoitzor? Or did the Gemara mean that this is true regarding all the Malachas? So is there Rashi in Shabbos on Daf Ayin Dalet? The Rashi sounds like he says, the Chatzishir Asan Anater, by the Malachas, by Bishul and by Borer. Rashi sounds like he says, the Chatzishir Asan Anater, by all the Malachas. So what does Rashi do with this Gemara in Zvachim? It says when you do Hoitzor to the extent of a Chatzishir, it's a lack of Malachas Masheris, which ought to lead you to believe that it's only Yisrael Rabbana. So the Prima Garden answers that it's not a Kasha. He says Rashi thinks that Hoitzor is a Malacha Grua. So Hoitzor shouldn't have been a Malacha in the first place. But it's a Chiddush HaPasuk that says that it is a Malacha. So there we say, but it's only a Malacha if you do it Kishir. If you do Hoitzor to the tune of a Chatzishir, then it'll be a lack of Malachas Masheris. The other Malachas are Malachas. It's not a Malacha Grua. So if you do a Malacha of Mevashel, you do a malacha of kotzer, a borer, you do it to the tune of a chatzi shir, so it'll be a chatzi shir asma nater. The malacha is a good malacha. But by hoitzor only, you require the kishir in order to consider it a malacha's machshavah. That's what the Prima Gadim suggests in Psicha Kalelis. And he suggests also, we learned this, no? In Gittin. That's what we're up to now, the first daf in Hazar. And then the Prima Gadim suggests, the Gemara says that the person carries on Shabbos a chatzi shir into the Rishus HaRav, and then an hour later he carries another chatzi shir, so it's mitzvah if he carries a chatzi shir into one Rishus HaRav, another chatzi shir into another Rishus HaRav. So that's a whole discussion in the Gemara, Tanaim, and different uses and cases. When is he chai, when is he potter? The Gemara says, when he says he carries a chatzi shir now and a chatzi shir later, then it's mitzvah if the first chatzi shir is still kayom. But what if he carried a chatzi shir and then it was eaten up by an animal? A dog came by and ate it up. And then he carries the other chatzi shir. The Gemara says, since later when he carries the second chatzi shir, first chatzi shir disappeared already, so the Gemara says, they're not mitzvah from the yachad. So the Prima Gadim suggests, maybe that's only by hoitzor. He says, maybe by kotzer, if he'll do ktsira, he'll do a ktsira on a chatzi shir, then he'll eat it. Then he'll do another ktsira on a chatzi shir, and he'll eat it. Maybe it is mitzvah. Because the shir over there is not needed to accomplish malachas machshavas by the other malachas. The shear is only needed because he needed a shear. So the chatzi shear was a chatzi shear asa mana teira. When you did the malacha the first time, there was a malacha. It's just the shear mitzaret. But maybe by her soul we consider it a shear nekudah. Until you have a shear shalom, it's considered as if you don't have malachas machshavas. Anyway, this is the concept that Tosfos and all the Rishonim came up with, that Hoitzor is a Malacha Grua. In what sense is Hoitzor a Malacha Grua? So in Masechus Avodah Zarah of all places, the Rishonim have a Machlokes, beginning of the second parak, the Rishonim have a Machlokes, what do we mean when we say that Hoitzor is a Malacha Grua? I think it's Machlokes, the Rashbo and the Ran, the Ran on the Rif. Quote the Rashbo, and he gives a slightly different version as to why is Hoitzor a Malacha Grua. I remember when we learned Shabbos, the Rav learned Pashat Pshat Hoitzor is a Malacha Grua because the other 38 Malachas were creating something new. Hoitzor, the thing is the same, he just moved it from one location to the other. And the whole idea of Malachas, Malachas Machshavas, to do creative activity. What's so creative? What's so creative over here? Let's say in the business world, you have geniuses who are investing in selling and buying it, and then you have Shvachi Kep who just deliver people not so smart, so they deliver packages from one to the other, they deliver letters from this one to that one. So that's a Malacha Grua, just to deliver, he didn't do anything. The guy who figured out the whole business deal, the guy who figured out the whole system, that's the Malachas Nafshel, the guy just delivers the package. See, he didn't create anything, there's no Malachas Nafshel over there. that's the pashtus. So in Avodah Zarah, in this, the beginning of the second parak, you have this machlokes. So not all the Rishonim say that. The other Rishonim say a little differently. Other Rishonim say the following. They say, because if you carry the siddur from one room to the other, to the other, to the other, all day long, that's mutter in the same house. But if you carry it out into the street, then it's asa. So that's why it's a malacha gula. So what does that mean? And they argue with each other. The first says that the one that Rav Salvechi said that some Rishonim say that. The other Rishonim say, no, that's not the reason. This is the reason. So what does that reason mean? Because the exact same thing, you carry. But if it's not a Rishus HaRabin, or it's not a Rishus HaRabin versus a Rishus HaRabin, it's not Dalaran, it's Rishus HaRabin, then there's no prohibition. So why does that make it a Malacha Gula? I don't know. Anyway, but this is the marker where Taisus says. Taisus has an Achoris Daf and Shabbos also. Taisus says, why doesn't Masechah Shabbos begin with the Mishnah that's on Daf Ayin Gimel? In fact, in most yeshivas, when they learn Masechah Shabbos, whichever yeshivas learn Masechah Shabbos, many yeshivas start from Daf Ayin Gimel. Avos Malachas, Abayim Kasaran, you get down to business. So what's the first 70 Blat Gemara all about? Why don't you start with the Avos Malachas? So Taisus gives a few suggestions. On the first Daf, on Daf Beis. So one suggestion is, you have to be Mechazik, the Malach of Hotsua, because it's a Malach of Gua. In Balabatim, even religious Jews who observe all the other prohibitions, they don't turn on the lights, and they don't drive their automobiles, and they don't go to work, and they don't write, they don't talk on the telephone, but carrying they do. They carry handkerchiefs, and they carry keys. So if somehow they're not Geiris Hotsua. Hotsua is not such a lucky... Everything needs mazel. So from all the lamatas malachas, and so is the weakest malacha. People carry. So Taisus says because Hitzor is a malacha gura, so that's why it needs chizuk. So the Taisus suggests maybe that's why the Masifta began with Hitzor. Pardon me. No, chatzi malacha. The Meiri says in Shabbos Daf Gimel, if you carry Beis Amis, you don't carry Dalan Amis. That's a chatzi malacha. That's not a chatzi shir. Yes, the kasha, let it be chatzi shir, asmanater. So this is not a chatzi shir, it's a chatzi malacha. So using the terminology of the Ragat Shabbat, that means that it's the shir Dalan Amis, it's a shir nekuda, as opposed to shir mitzvah. If you don't have the Dalan Amis, you don't have anything. You don't have the maver at all. If you do bishul on a tiny little bit of food, you did bishul. The malach is there, just it's a sheer mitzarif. You just didn't accumulate enough volume of food that you cooked. But here, this is something similar, that the Prima Gadol suggests that if the Gemara says that there's a lack of malachas nachshevis and doing hoitzoh on less than a kishir, he thinks that it's only by hoitzoh. By the other malachas, Rashi is right. Rashi says, by all the malachas, there is a din of chatzishir asmanatar. It means that every other malach is a malach, even if you do less than a shir. It has a shame malach, but by hoitzoh, to begin with, it's a malach gur. Malach gur means that it always lacks malachas nachshevis, but the Chumash says that it is considered malachas nachshevis. But then the Gemara says it's only considered malachas nachshevis if you have the kishir. If you don't have the kishir, not. So in this sense, it will be similar to the chatzi malacha, in the sense that it's like it's a shir nekudah. Until you have the shir shalom, you don't have hotzoh at all. It's a guy walks in the street, he has a speck on, he has some dandruff on his jacket, he has a speck of dirt on over here that you can wipe off. So you're going to say, chatzi shir asim anatayu. It's not a chatzi shir, it's nothing with nothing. Whenever you have a chatzi shir, it's nothing. Yeah, the Rabbanan, you're not, the speck of dirt, there's no Issa de Rabbanan. You carry a tiny little thing in your hand, there is an Issa de Rabbanan. They made a difference on the level of the Rabbanan. But on the level of the rice, even if you carry an object less than a kishir, it's like a speck of dirt. It doesn't count at all. It's not a malacha. In that sense, it's like a chatzi malacha. No. I lumped them together with respect to the chatzi shir. You don't say by either case, chatzi shir asim anater. The Chumash singles out Havara. Lo sevar reish b'chol ma'ashrasechem b'yayim ha'shabbos in the very beginning. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes ha'tanai. Why was Havara singled out? Anishtan dis mo lo yadam malachas. We understand why you have to single out Hoitzoh. It's explained because Hoitzoh is malachas gruy. But Havara is a wonderful malachas that doesn't need any chizuk. So why was Hoitzoh singled out? So one time is of the opinion, we don't pass like this time, one time is of the opinion that Havara lo lav yosis. Havara singled out to indicate that there's no chorus and there's no misa. It's only a lav. It's weaker than the other 38 malachas. And that's a machloikis. If we don't pass like this Tana, if one should assume like that Tana, what would you say regarding Kibui? If you say that Havor is only Lalav Yotzos, should you say that Kibui is also only Lalav Yotzos? Or should you say no? Only Havor is Lalav Yotzos. Kibui is Malacha like Kala Malacha. So it should be a Kavachayim. If Havor is only a Lav, so Kibui should certainly be. Kibui is much less than Havor. You're undoing the Havor. Why should Kibui be? So some Rishonim say like that. There's a Tosfos Rishonim and Beitza, a couple of some Achronim say like that. That if you hold Havar Lalav Yotzos, the Kibui is also Lalav Yotzos. So the Rashash points out it's against the Gemara. The Gemara increases his Beferish on Daf Yutes. This is a Rashash on Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel. So he points out his relative wrote the Alfei Menashe. His relative was Menashe Ilya. Menashe Ilya was a genius. Who is a contemporary of Vilna Gaon, used to give original interpretations in Gemara. There used to be a malamed for little children, and he used to give his own pshatim, not like Rashi, not like Tosfos, so he lost all of his jobs, because the parents didn't like, they wanted the kids to learn Gemara with Rashi. They weren't interested in Gemara with Ilya. They wanted to have Gemara with Rashi. And Vilna Gaon used to like this character, because his pshatim were snazzy. And then they say that when they printed the Vilna Shas, a lot of his original interpretations appeared in the Ksav Yad from the Rabbeinu Hanan. He's above him, I don't know. That's what they write when they talk about Rav Menashe Ilya. So he wrote a sefer that's called Alfei Menashe. So the Rashash writes that he's a relative of this Alfei Menashe. He lived in Vilna for a while, I think. He didn't live too long there. I think they kicked him out of town. He lost his job, so he had to go get a job somewhere else. So he writes that his dear relative, Shev Sari, the Alfei Menashe, writes that if you hold out this Tana, Havor Lalav Yatza, so who had been on the Kibui? And the Tosfos Rishonim in Beit Zadav Kodei says like that also. So he says they're wrong. The Rashash says they're all wrong. So the Feresh Gemara increases Daf Yutes. That if a person does Mechata B'Gecholim, he's in violation of both Mechaba and Mavir. Those coats that were black that become red is Havara. Those that were red that become black is Mechaba. So one Brisa says Chai Shtayim Tu Chatos, and one Brisa says Chai Bachas One Chatos. Why? One Brisa goes with the Shita Havor Lalav Yotzos. So there's no Chorus. If there's no Chorus, there's no Chatos. So there's only one Chatos on the Kibui. There's no Chatos on the Havor, there is a Chatos on the Kibui. The other Brisa goes with Psak Alofa, that Havor is not for Lalav Yotzos. So you Chai Shtayim, Chai Tu Chatos. One for the Havor, and one for the Kibui. So he says, you see the foolish, but everybody agrees that Kibui has Chorus and Chatos and Nisa. Kibui is Kibui. Kibui is normal. All Machlok is only Havara. Anyway, so we don't accept this opinion that Havara Lalav Yotzos. What do we accept? Why is Havara singled out? Havara Lachalak Yotzos. Havara is written Lachalak. Maha Kavana Lachalak. What does it mean? Chiluk. Yesh Chiluk Malachas L'Shabbos. What does it mean Chiluk Malachas? So Rashi in different places writes two different pshatim. Sometimes Rashi writes, L'chalek Yotzos, what's the din if a person violated on one Shabbos all the Lamed Tesavos Malachas? Is he chayv 39 Chatos? Or is he only chayv 1 Chatos? So the Mishnah says there are 39 Avos Malachas, gives you the number. Avos Malachas are Boim Chasar Asa, they're 39. So Rabbi Yechanan has a comment on that Mishnah, Daf Ayin Gimel and Shabbos. Why does the Mishnah give you the number to teach you that if he violated all 39 on Shabbos, he's chayv 39 Chatos? That's called Chiluk Malachas on Shabbos. That Yechayv 39 Chatos means if not, for this Pesach I would have thought, if he does another Malach and another Malach and another Malach, it says, he was Machal Shabbos again, that's all, he repeated the same Adair many times. The hell and effort, if he violated the same Adair many times, only Chayv 1 Chatos. Let's say a guy's doing Shkut Echutz, he's shechting in New York, and he shechts in, where do they shecht now? They shecht in New Jersey, I don't know where they shecht. Iowa. Wherever they share. So there are some Jewish farmers. The Jewish farmers, not Jewish farmers. Some of the Jewish farmers have the Chorbein of Torah. They're not religious and they don't pay attention. So the Sheikha doesn't realize. They give him behemoth, the Sheikh. So he shechts. Turns out that in one day he shechted many Chorbein of Torah. So, and every time he shechts, he chayv Koris. So the din is he doesn't bring, when the Beis HaMikdash, he chayv Koris, the Mezid, say chayv Katos, the Sheikh. So let's say they build the Beis HaMikdash tomorrow, and he has to bring a Chatos having violated the Aveir of Shchut Echutz. He doesn't have to bring a separate Chatos for each Shchut Echutz that he did. He repeated the same Aveir many times, Mechot. So he's only chayav to bring one chatas. And one would have thought, perhaps, that if somebody is machal Shabbos repeatedly on the same Shabbos, he does all the 39 malachas, one would have thought he's just repeating the same Avera of Chilul Shabbos many times. So that's what the pasuk says. No, Havara is lechalak yotzes. If you do Havara, you chayav chatas, and if you do Kotzer, you chayav another chatas, and if you do Zareh, you chayav another chatas, and if you do Hoysoh, you chayav another chatas. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan says. Why did the Mishnah mention the number of 39? That sometimes you chayav 39 chatas. If he knows it's Shabbos and he does know you're not allowed to do the malachas, then you chayav 39. If he didn't know that it was Shabbos, that's Helam, that's one halom, he's only chayav one chatas. If it's Helam Shabbos, but if it's don't Shabbos, the Helam, the Shigigas malachas, then that's what it means, Havara lachalak yotzes. That's what Rashi writes in one place. I would have thought that even if you do all the malachas, you still only chayav one chatas. Mashmal on the pasuk, that it's not so. Rashi in another place writes differently. I would have thought that you're not chayiv chatos unless he violates all the 39 malachas. I would have thought you're not chayiv kareis kol malacha. Why? Because the pasuk says kol malacha. So you don't know how to read kol malacha. Kol malacha means any one of the malachas are called all the malachas. It's not the kol malacha. It's kol malacha means don't violate all the malachas. So that was the Havamina. Rashi writes in another place. That was the Havamina. If not for this pasuk, I would have thought that you only chayiv kareis in the melee, you only chayiv chata b'shegek if he violates the whole list of all the malachas. So the Netziv has a discussion of this Havamina in his commentary on Mechilta, on this pasuk, in the beginning of the Seder. He says, but there's a parsha in the Chumash of the Mekoshesh, that the Mekoshesh did not violate all the 39 of his malachas. He did something or another. It's a little unclear. The Gemara has different suggestions, but the tradition has it he violated one malacha on Shabbos, and he got Misa. So doesn't that show that you don't have to violate the whole list of all the 39 malachas in order to be chayav Misa? So he says, of course, on Misa there was never a Havamina. The whole Havamina only was on Chatos. And he refers you to Gemaris in the beginning of Krisis that things that are mechalik lachatos are not necessarily mechalik lamalkis, and things that are mechalik lamalkis are not necessarily mechalik lachatos. Sometimes you have a case where if you did three averis, if you did a demezid, you'll get malkis three times. Misa, you can't get many times Misa. So the Gemara has certain times there are cases, there are three averis, which are related, similar or related. So if you do all three, you get three times malchus. But if you do all three b'shogeg, you want to chayv one chatas. It's the chalukim, the lavim chalukim le malchus, and the not chalukim le chatas. And sometimes forget, you have things that are chalukim le chatas, and they're not chalukim le malchus. He only gets once malchus. It's considered as if he repeated for malchus purposes. It's considered as if he repeated the same aver many times. So you got to figure out what's the klal over there. You have to figure out what's the klal. So the Netziv says, apparently over here is such a similar thing. The whole Havamina, the way Rashi suggested in one place, the Havamina would be that you only chayav chatas if you would violate all the 39 malachas. For Misa, there's no Havamina. Only for chatas is such a Havamina. Why should that be so? So that needs some explanation. Needs a lot of explanation. The explanation that he gives is not so easy. Yaakov starts in the Christian Bible, it's chapter 35. These chapters in the Tanakh were not made by the rabbis, it was made by the Christians. That's why Yanky Kamenevsky never liked to call it a perek. In Mishnais he would call it a perek, because the Prokem and the Mishnais were instituted by Rabbi Yudah Nasi. But the chapters here were instituted by the Christians, they used to call it kapitel. The Germans who made the distinction, they called it kapitel. They used the Goyish word. So here you have chapter 36 in the middle of Shlishi, or Shem Chupar, in the middle of Sheni. No, it doesn't make any sense at all. Chapter 36 absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. So usually it doesn't bother us, we'll be going late. But here, this is so obviously nonsensical, the Gedolim were bothered, even the Goyim shouldn't have made such a mistake. What did they put in chapter 36? So the quote from Abishur Leib Diskin, that they simply made a mistake. that when they were numbering the psukim, chapter Lamed Hay, Kapitul Lamed Hay starts from the beginning of Ayakov, it goes till Pasuk Lamed Hay. Chapter Lamed Hay has Lamed Hay psukim. So the next Pasuk in one Chumash said Lamed Vav. Pasuk Lamed Vav. So the guy who was copying, setting the type for the Beis Yitzchak for the next year, made a mistake. So he threw a Lamed Vav. He threw, oh, chapter Lamed Vav. He made a big Lamed Vav. Then he started making new psukim because if Mamish doesn't make any sense, why did they make chapter 36 in the middle of nowhere? That's what the Mariel Diskin is quoted as having said. That the Lamed Vav doesn't even make sense for the Christians. It meant perfect Lamed Vav. No, no, we have to fire him for the Christians. We have bigger and better kashas on the Christians. There are other problems in counting. Bertrand Russell, I always mention, Bertrand Russell put out many books. He used to be a philosopher, sort of a philosopher. So he put out a book that is called The Dictionary of Philosophy, I think. So he has one word for every letter in the alphabet, I think, and then he has a cartoon to illustrate that word. So on the first page, that's as far as I went. So on the first page of the book, he says, arithmetic. He has a picture of a galach with a white collar, teaching arithmetic to little children in elementary school. So he writes on the blackboard, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. It's infinity. They believe Hashem Echad. So they have 1 plus 1 plus 1. This is the Christian numbering. So we have bigger kashas on the Christians as far as arithmetic is concerned. Bigger kashas than the 36. Anyway, but my real business thinks that that's the teret over there. And the other one, he has no teret. Pasuk, the Pesukim mention a few times that the people who were doing the Melachas from Melachas HaMishkan Cholish Chacham Lei, they were Ish V'Isha. The women did, the men did, but he uses the expression Chol Ish. So the Gemara often darshans Ish Prat Lekotin Ish Ish Memelachta Shehema Osin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samachtes on base quotes that Pasuk. That's in chapter Lamed Vav, Kapitel Lamed Vav, verse 4. So the verse reads, Ish Ish Mimalakta Hashem. So the Gemara says the Ish Ish, such an emphasis on the Ish, sounds like they mean, doesn't mean Ish V'Ish, a man and a woman, sounds like it's coming to emphasize Ish Prat L'Kotin, that Ktanim were not allowed to do the Malacha. Why were Ktanim not allowed to do the Malacha? So the Rabbi of Soloveitchik in the commentary on Chumash has two suggestions. The more popular suggestion, the one that I heard of, was that you have to do it lishma. So Cotton can't write a get lishma, can't do anything that needs lishma. So he can't make the osoli, li lishmi. So everything has to be done lishma. So they couldn't allow a Cotton to do. So the Gemara says that Bezalel was a bar mitzvah bacher already. He was ready bar mitzvah. This is very interesting. Bezalel, who was he? Bezalel ben Oholiyov. Excuse me, Bezalel. Ben Uri ben Hur. And who is Hur? The son of Miriam, Rashi says. Miriam was the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu's sister had a great grandson. Who was he? Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. Moshe Rabbeinu's great. Moshe Rabbeinu's sister was a few years older than him, no, a couple years older than him. So Moshe Rabbeinu's sister's great grandson was bar mitzvah ready. Moshe Rabbeinu was only, he wasn't yet 120 years old. He was how old? 80 years old. And his sister had a great grandchild who was bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says, yes, he must have been bar mitzvah. 13. Taisus says on that daf, on Samach Tesam and Aleph, that in the Doris HaRishonim, they could have become bar mitzvah before the age of 13, because they were roi l'hoilet at an earlier age. So Allah says that when does one become bar mitzvah? When he has shana misimani. So the Gemara says you have to have a certain level of intelligence, maturity, seicha, and then you have to have, the Gemara says that a girl, the pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, so the Gemara understands by even lashon binyan, and also by even lashon bina, that bina yisera nashma kadosh baruch hu le'isha yosem minu ish. So because bina yisera, the girls mature at an earlier age, that's why they become bas mitzvah at an earlier age. It's even that Gemara, that the age, you need shana misimani to be bar mitzvah, to be adult. So the shana is for the purpose of the child developing maturity. in seichel and emotions, whatever. Then the simanim, the shtei sairis and the eva ho'erva, that's to serve as an indication that the person is roi l'hoilish. So let's say you have a child who's pretty intelligent, just as more intelligent than many kids who are 13 years old already, and he's roi l'hoilish at an earlier age. So then, just because this kid is roi l'hoilish doesn't change the din. It depends on what's in general. What age are people roi l'hoilish in general? But if people are roi l'hoilish at an earlier age, if in that generation, for some reason or another, people are roi l'hoilish at an earlier age, then Tosfos says on Daf Samach Tes Melach, then they become bar mitzvah at an earlier age. They make studies now. They always have in the newspaper, the Puerto Rican girls and the Schweizer girls, they have children at the age of 10 and the age of 11, so the royal hybrid. And who is the father of the child? An 8-year-old, no, whatever. An 11-year-old. They have in certain Africans, they say it has to do with diet, what you eat. Then they have a certain African nation, they have it on the news all the time. In the newspaper, they have it on the television all the time. When I travel by plane, I have to sit in the airport, so they have the television beaming over there. So this is what they keep on causing. You have to wait for... The other week, I had to wait for 3.5 hours in the airport. So I kept on hearing this every 20 minutes. They kept on causing over the same thing. So that is a problem. If the doctors will ascertain that in our generation, they're very loyal at an earlier age, then according to the Tosfos, they should become bar mitzvah at an earlier age. So that's not a good question. Anyway, but the Gemara points out that the Tzala was a bar mitzvah bocher at the time. There's an interesting Medrash Rabbah on the Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai and he tells Bnei Israel, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants to make a Mishkan, and who's going to be in charge? My sister's great-grandson. So they got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. Nepotism! Everything is his family. His brother and his nephew and the other nephew and the cousin and the great-grandson. Everybody's from the family. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, look here, Kindalar. When the Rebbeinu Shalom was telling me to beat him in Har Sinai, he showed me this and he said, the Yosiso. So I thought he's talking to me, the Yosiso. So I thought, I'm going to be making. Then he tells me, your sister's grandson, great grandson. So I was also disappointed. I thought he was talking to me, the Yosiso. Then he told me not so. So they didn't believe him. And they said, they didn't believe Moshe Rabbeinu. So somehow Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lu kara Hashem itzal. He said, look here. I'm not inventing it. I wanted to do it myself. Baruch Shalom told me he wants the Tzala to do it. The Tzala has more time. Ruv Kor Hashem, the Medrash has it on that person. Look here, Ruv Kor Hashem is Shem Tzala Ben Ur Mechur. The Baruch Shalom picked it. It's not my nepotism. It's a taina that has been made in many generations against many people. The Gemara comes on the Pasuk and the Div Liboy, the Div Leib that appears so many times in the Parsha here in the context of the Mishkan. Yimon Shavuos on Daf Chav Vav on the base points out that Gama Beliba Tzach Lohaitzi Bisfasav, if a person makes up his mind and that day he's not going to eat any potato chips, or a Shavuah he's not going to attend that bar mitzvah, or he will attend that bar mitzvah, whatever he makes up his mind, a Shavuah and that, so the Gemara says that it's not binding unless he pronounces it with his lips, because the Pasuk says Oma Shmuel. Shmuel says Gama Beliba Tzach Lohaitzi Bisfasav Shenema. Pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra, if you don't pronounce it with the lips, it's not possible. The Gemara says, but there are two exceptions to the rule, and you don't learn after these two because it's snake sigma boin kechade malam. What are the two exceptions to the rule? Truma the kachim. So by truma it says, v'nechshav lachem shumaskan, the truma is chal b'machshava. And by kachim it says, kol nadiv liboy. That's a pasuk. The kachim is these, kol nadiv liboy. Or the pasuk nadiv ayomim, kol nadiv leivoylois. So there are. So there's more than two exceptions to the rule. One is Hakdoshes Shume, and one is Hakdoshes Karbonis, and one is these Hakdoshes. So all Hakdoshes. So the Gemara says these are the two exceptions to the rule that it's called the Machshava, and otherwise it's not called the Machshava. Chumash lists off all of the things that they had prepared. So one of the things that they made was the ketoret. So it says that they made the ketoret was tahor. What does that mean that it was tahor to the exclusion of tamei? That it wasn't tamei. So the Tur in his commentary on Chumash points out that kitoris is not roi lachila sodom. The thing is, there are only four things that are mekabel tumah. Adam mekelim ochlam amashkim. Ochlam amashkim have to be michael adam. Kol mashka sheishata b'chol kli. Kol oichal asher yochel. Has to be oichal asher yochel adam. Michael behem is not mekabel tumah. So the ingredients in the Torah, none of them are roi lachila. It's incense that you burn and it gives off a fragrant aroma. Let's say psalmon. Some psalmon you can use for cooking purposes, but other things, you only smell. You don't have to eat it. So if it's not roi lachila, should not be mekabel tumah. So the Torah in his commentary on Chumash says, yeah. But there is a din of chibut hakodesh. The Gemara has in Sochim on daf Lamed Gimel, as well as many other places. The Gemara has a din of Chagiga, other places. The chibut hakodesh machshir osay. If something is karev al gabi hamizbeach, so it's called lachmash al mizbeach. It's called meichel hamizbeach. So either meichel adam is called meichel deres mekabel tumah, or meichel shel hamizbeach lachmash al ishim is also mekabel tumah because of the din of chibus hakodesh. And that Gemara chibus hakodesh is the famous machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Sochem Lamed Gimel, where the chibus hakodesh is deraisa de rabbanon. So that's a kasha that the Belt asks. If chibus hakodesh is only de rabbanon, so what does the pasuk mean that the keres hasamim tahor to the exclusion of tamei? How can it be tamei if it's not mekabel tumah in atayr at all? The whole concept of chibus hakodesh only de rabbanon in atayr, there's no such thing. So how can you have the Ktoris that's ever Tomei on the level of the Raisis? So what do you need a pasuk to say that it has to be Ktoris Amin Tahor? So they work on that kasha. The Gdolim talk about that kasha. There is a long discussion in the Medrash Rabbah this week said regarding the order of Asiyas HaMishkan. In the end of Brachah says that B'tzalel is B'tzel Kel HaYisra, shadow is always the opposite from the way the thing really is. So B'tzalel listened to the Tzivuyim on Moshe Rabbeinu and he understood that it's the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu told him over that he should make the Kelim and then he should make the Mishkan. So B'tzalel said, what are you talking about? I'm going to make the Kelim, where am I going to put them? You have to put them in the Mishkan. You got to make a Mishkan first and then you make the Kelim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, you understood better than I did. I heard directly from the Rabban Shalom. You understood it better. B'tzalel Kel HaYisra, Maskin, do it the way you said. That's the Agadah as it appears in the Gemara. The Medrash Rabbah has that there was a big fight going on. Machlekes Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel, Machlekes HaTanaim, a whole long story. Very different from the way it appears in the Gemara. In fact, here there's a commentary, this Yalkut Shemani quotes part of this, doesn't quote the whole. That is Rabbah has it more Barichas, very much Barichas. So here there's a commentary on the bottom of the Yalkut Shemani by the author of the Magen Avraham, on Shulchan Aruch. That's called Zayis Ranon. The printer printed it Bekitzer. I think it's only less than 20%, maybe it's only 10%. He left out most of the Zayis Ranon. The old Yalkut Shemani. My father has an old Yalkut Shemani that has the whole long Zayis Ranon, much more than here. Anyway, I think they reprinted the Zayis Ranon. So here, they left this one in. He comments on this one, Hu neged HaGemara. This medrash is against the Gemara, because the Gemara says that Bezalel made first the Mishkan, then the Kelim, and here it says that he made the Kelim and then the Mishkan. He did it in the opposite order. So there are different versions over here, exactly in what order it was done. But it's even in his commentary on the Mechilta. Mechilta also has us so worried about this, what order it was done. Mechilta has a little bit about it. Medrash Rabbah has a lot. The Yalkut Shemani quotes in Mechilta just briefly. So the Nitziv in his commentary says the Gemara gave a reason why did he make the Mishkan first and then the Kelim, because he argued he's going to make first the Kelim and then the Mishkan, so where is he going to put the Kelim? So the Nitziv says he doesn't understand the Tam that the Gemara says, and now that he made the Mishkan first and then the Kelim, so he made the Mishkan and put the Kelim inside. But the Medrash says that they finished making the whole everything. The Moshe Rabbeinu came down Matzor Yom Kippurim and he gave the Tzivuyim, came down from Hasin Matzor Yom Kippur and he gave the instructions to make the whole Mishkan. When did they finish making everything? So the tour, and it was Chanukah, quotes the Medrash, everything was finished by Chanukah time. that on Chanukah we celebrate the completion of the Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But that wasn't when they put it all together. When did they put it all together? The end of Chodesh Adar. You had the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. But Hilei Yom Hashmini, Shmini L'Miluim was the first day in Chodesh Nisan. Then Yud Beis Nisiyim brought the Chanukah on Mishkan. So what they do from Chanukah until the end of Adar? Nothing. They didn't put together. So the Kelim is sitting there outside of the Mishkan. So the Netziv says he doesn't understand. What did the Gemara in the end of Brachas say? That the Tzalal argued, how am I going to make the Kelim first and then the Mishkan? Where am I going to put the Kelim? You got to put the Kelim somewhere. And now that he made the Mishkan first, but he didn't erect the Mishkan. The Mishkan was just laying there in the box. They didn't even open the box. They made a Mishkan. They left it there. They didn't put it up. They didn't put it. Put all the pieces together until months later, from Chanukah until the end of Adar. So he doesn't understand the pshat in the Gemara. He said that he would have asked me, which we didn't ask him. He said if he would have asked me, he would have given a different argument. Why you have to make the Mishkan first and then make the Kelim? That what? That the Kelim are the furniture for the Beis HaMikdash, like the Rambam wrote, that it's one mitzvah to make a Beis HaMikdash with the Kelim, that's a chelek mechelke HaMitzvah. So he says, how does it have a chaloshem klei HaMikdash if you don't have a Mikdash? You have to first have a Mikdash and then have klei HaMikdash. That's what Adolvalet kicks up on that. Anet Nitzis. Adolvalet talks about there is a machlokes abay v'rovim Sanhedrin Mem Zayin where the Hazmana Milsihi, Hazmana Lam Milsihi means like this: I go to the store and I buy a tefillin zekel because my old tefillin zekel is all worn out and I'm going to use a new one. So when I put the tefillin into the tefillin zekel and I plan to use it permanently like that, so then the tefillin zekel becomes tashmishi kedusha. But what about when I bought it in the store? So that's only Hazmana. I bought it in the store and I planned. I designated already the pair, the machshava, the diva, whatever. I planned to put my tefillin in, but I didn't actually put the tefillin in yet. So the Gemara presents a machlekes Abai v'Rava, and we pass like Rava, Hazmana la Milsi. Abai would say that Hazmana is Milsi. So Adabala picks up on this theme from the Netziv. So he says, Mipi Hashmo HaKumish. So he says, what if according to Abai, according to Rabbi Hazmana Lam Milsi, is Lam Milsi, nothing to discuss. What about according to Abaye? I bought a tefillin zekel and I plan to put my tefillin in the tefillin zekel, but I don't have the tefillin yet either. The tefillin weren't made yet. They're writing the tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. They're writing it for me. By the time the kid's going to be bar mitzvah, they will already send the tefillin in the mail. But the tefillin weren't written yet. They don't exist yet. So davar shel bal yom. So is it enough that the mitzvah tefillin exists? Since the mitzvah tefillin, the concept of tefillin exists, so Abai would say, Hazmana milsihi, this is already called the tefillin zekel. Even though there's no ketzah of tefillin. Or he's saying, no, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, the original machleg is orig beged lameis. A guy makes tachrichim. He goes to the stone, he buys tachrichim. So the Gemara says, but if the person is still alive, someone is about to die. So they buy tachrichim. So that the Gemara says, everybody agrees. Orig beged lachai, he's preparing tachrichim so that after lachameh v'ezim shalom, they should put it on the race. So the Gemara says, everybody agrees that that's not hazmana milsihi. Hazmana has to be the guy is dead already. If he's not dead yet, even though the concept of death does exist, there are dead people who exist in the world. But I'm making these tachrichim for this particular person. He didn't die yet. So if I'm buying a tefillin zekel, you don't just buy tefillin zekel for l'chayre. You don't just buy it for abstract, for tefillin in general, or do you buy the particular tefillin? So that's a pilpul. Maybe it's not the same. Maybe tashmishi ameis after the mishamshi ameis hazeh. Let's say I always put my tefillin in this tefillin zekel, and then I want to buy a fancier tefillin zekel. So after I switch, what do I do with the old one? So someone else needs a tefillin zekel, so I give it to him. Is there a problem that he puts a different pair of tefillin in a tefillin zekel? No. These are kosher tefillin. That's kosher tefillin. It's all the same. Why is he going to put in tefillin that I've been in time? That will be a problem. Because I use it for tefillin that Rashi, that's considered more makudish. That would be a violation of malam makudish v'lo marini. I had a tefillin zekel that I use it from the Rashi, and then the other guy wants to use it from the Rabbi Natan. That could be a violation. That's in Shulchan Aruch. That's a violation of Maridin. But let's say the other guy's going to put in another pair of tefillin the Rashi, not tefillin the Rabbi Natan. So that's fine. So you say that it's a tashmishay tefillin. It's not tashmishay tefillin elu. What about tachrichim for a mace? I wrapped up the mace in these tachrichim. Then I changed my mind later, I want to get a different pair of tachrichim. So I take these off, I put on a different pair. Am I allowed to use the first tachrichim for a different mace? It says in the post, you're not allowed to. So it could be that that's different. Tachrichim have to be mishamshe ha-mace hazeh. You're not allowed to use it for any other mace. And then the Gemara says, this person has to be dead. If you want to hold Azmana Milsihi, and you bought tachrichim for this person, if he's still alive, so how can you call tashmishi ha-mace hazeh? But in tefillin zekel doesn't have to. Tefillin zekel is not related to any particular pair of tefillin. Just because I put in one pair of tefillin doesn't make it prohibited to switch it to put a different pair of tefillin in. All tefillin in the world are the same. So as long as the mitzvah tefillin exists, as long as there is a concept of tefillin in the world, maybe that's enough. But that's the shayla over here. Was it necessary? Then it seems to suggest maybe it was necessary to build the mishkan first, and then make the kelim afterwards. According to the version that the Gemara says, other versions say it's not true. He did it in the reverse order. The Mechilta says also Oren Tchila, Hizkel Baron Tchila, and later on he made the Mishnah. The two versions in the Tanaim, what he did first. According to the version that the Gemara presents, he says Hu Negin HaGemara. According to the Gemara's version that he made first the Mishkan and then the Kelim, so then it seems wants to say that if he wouldn't make the Mishkan first, he wouldn't be able to call them Klei HaMishkan. How can you call it Klei HaMishkan? The Klei HaMishkan have to relate to a Mishkan that exists already. So Abelvela picks up on that theme, but he doesn't like what the Netziv said, because it's against the Gemara. He doesn't quote this from the Netziv. So he says like this, why did the Rabbanu Shalom give the Tzibui backwards? Why did Rabbanu Shalom first say make a Mishkan, and then he told Moshe Rabbeinu make the Kelim, and Bezalel was Bezalel Kel HaYisa, and he did it in reverse order. So why did Rabbanu Shalom say it in the reverse? So he says, no, the Rabbanu Shalom couldn't possibly give the Tzivoy on the Klei HaMishkan first. First you have to give it Tzivoy on the Mishkan, and then you can begin to give it Tzivoy on the Kelim, because the Kelim have to be Klei HaMishkan. So he adopts the Svara of the Netziv with respect to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Banshwan has to first develop a concept. He notifies us of a Chaloshem concept of a Mishkan. And then he says, and now I'm going to tell you at Tzivoy about Klei HaMishkan. But when it comes to making it, you make the Klei HaMishkan first. How can you make the Klei HaMishkan first? Because there is a concept of Mishkan. So it's already labeled as Klei HaMishkan. I'll shame the fact that there exists such a concept. But as far as making it, Lamaisa, he's not supposed to make the Mishkan first. First you make... It's fakir. No, the Baruch Shalom said first make the Kelim and then make the Mishkan. Fakir. I forgot what he said. I think he adopts the Svarab, then it says partially. But I already forgot what he said. You gotta look it up. This Shabbos is Parsha Shkolin, yeah. Didn't hear the Asiya was no good. How can you call it Asiya Slei HaMishkan if the concept of Mishkan doesn't exist? So how can it be called Asiya Slei HaMishkan? I think that's the issue that was bothering the Netziv. So Rav Elvela picks up on that theme and uses it Lachatzoyim. He holds that half of it is correct, half of it is not correct. This week is Parsha Shkolim, the Shabbos Parsha Shkolim. So the Mishnah says that we spoke about some of the Dinim of Shkolim last week. The Mishnah says that Ktanim are not mechuyev to give Machzis HaShekel, only people who are Gidoilim. But nonetheless, the Mishnah says that if a Katan Sheshokal, if a Katan donated Machzis HaShekel, so you do accept it. So the Ktzais and Chosh Mishpat is bothered with our famous Kashe. Achir shayte the katan is al pidin alav badas. So if he's going to give anything to the Beis Hamikdash, al pipash, whatever he gives is not chal. So how can the Mishnah say that you accept his donations? It should remain chol. It should be chulin. So then you buy the karbanis with the money that's chulin. You buy the karbanis with a whole sack full of money. Part of that money is chol because the kid doesn't have the ability to be magdash. So the Ktzais answers that since the Rabbanim that made a takana in the earlier generations, that Mishnah wouldn't exist. Mishnah wouldn't apply. He says the din in the Mishnah only applied after the Chachamim made the takana that appears in Perek HaNizokin. That Hakatan Shigir Lanis Aputus Mikcha Mekach Memker Memka Bimetalfalin. The Rabbanan, he does have the ability to be makne things. So since the Rabbanan, he has the ability to be makne, all based on Hefkebez and Hefker, so therefore, the Hefkebez makes it that the Katan's donation becomes Mum and Hegdish. That's why it works. That's what the Ksoy says. So the Ksoy proves from this Mishnah his point. The Ksoy had a, there was a machlokes that the Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Beis Yosef, the machlokes and the Ksoy and the Nesidus, this repeat. In every generation, this machlokes repeats. Whether Hefker Bez and Hefker only works on the level of the Reis al Hafkir, it works even Lahaknas Lachem. So the Ksoy says, you see for the Mishnah Shkolim that it works Lahaknas Lachem. If it only works Lahafkir, so it means that the money is chol min haTorah. So the money never belongs to Hegdish. So how can the Gizborim take the money of chol chulin and purchase the Karbana Siba with it? They're buying Karbana Siba with chulin digging money, which you're not allowed to do. So it's a raya that Hefkebez and Hefken works on the level of their rice. So the Nesivus disagrees. The Nesivus holds like the other opinion that Lahafkir is their rice, and Lahaknas Lachem is only the Rabbanan. And on this cash, he gives a different answer. He says, where did the kid put the Machzah Shekel? When he donates, where does he put it? He says he puts it in a big pushkin in the Beis HaMikdash. There were 13 pushkas, 13 shayfras. So he says, when he puts it, so Kel Shalodim Kronim Labacham Machm Sheesh Lerushu Slanicham. It's the Kinya Chatzah. So he says, the on the level of the right of the Hefker, there's no Hefker only works, that the money that the kid gives becomes Hefker. The Rabbanon, the Chachanim have the power to say the money, when out there nothing budges, the money still belongs to the Kut. So the Rabbanon, but because of Hefkebez and Hefke, which works in out there, so the money no longer belongs to the Kut. How does it belong to Hegdish? How does Hegdish acquire it? Says Hegdish acquires it with the Kinyan Chatzah. Says not like the Ksoy said that in this Mishnah Shkolim is a Raya, that Hefkebez and Hefke even works in out there, Lahaknas Lacher. No, here the Hegdish is kind of via the Kinyan Chatzah. The both opinions of the Ksesinsa are both very difficult. Both are pillar flying. The Mishnah says that for the purpose of purchasing Karbana Sibur, you have to purchase Karbana Sibur with Machzah Shekel money. According to the Ksesinsa and according to the Tzivis, this is not Machzah Shekel money. Machzah Shekel money means that someone was Magdashir as a Machzah Shekel. So according to the Ksesinsa, this money belongs to Hegdish based on the power, based on the authority of Hefkebez and Hefke. The Hegdish got it from Hefkebez and Hefke, so that's not labeled as Machzah Shekel. And according to the Nesivus also, Hegdish acquired the ownership of the money based on Kinyan Chatzah. Kinyan Chatzah doesn't accomplish that the money should be labeled as Machzah Shekel money. Kinyan Chatzah is a Kinyan Chatzah. It belongs to the owner of the Chatzah, it's kind of the dover that falls in. But that's not called Machzah Shekel money. That's a machlokes Tosfos in the Ramban. Does Hegdish have a Kinyan Chatzah? Tosfos and Balabasa are fine tests. So Hegdish does not have a Kinyan Chatzah. And the Ramban denies it. Tosfos claims they have a right. And the Ramban is misalically right. So the whole Nesivus also is a mutal the machlokes. The answer that the Nesivus gave is against Tosfos. But even if you say like the Ramban that Hegdish has a Kinyan Chatzah, but via acquiring ownership with the Kinyan Chatzah, how can you label it as it's Machzah Sashekel money? That's a pellet. The both suggestions of the Ksais and Sivis are both pelletic. The Pashta says you got to say differently. The Kotten means it's a Kotten Amuflah Samach Layish. It's a year before Bar Mitzvah. The Amuflah Samach Layish has the ability to be Magdish things. He's Magdish, Machzah Sashekel. Or others say that the Kotten is after Bar Mitzvah, but he's younger than 20. In the Mishnah, some Rishonim, that's what we spoke about last week, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, two Gishas in Yerushalmi. One says a cotton is not Mukhiyat, he did Machzah Shekel, doesn't mean a cotton before Bar Mitzvah, it doesn't mean a cotton before the age of 20. So if he's after Bar Mitzvah and he's not 20, he's a Bar Das, he can be Magdashit. So he's not Mukhiyat, but if he's Magdashit, then it's Chal. The Mishnah says that if the father started cotton, she's Chalavi, Mishkalav Yodo, Shuvaina Paisit. That's in the first parak in Shkolim. If the father started giving for a tiny child of his, let's say he has a little baby, he's only born, the kid is only 2 months old, and the father wants to donate Machzah Shekel on behalf of the child, so the Mishnah says that is acceptable. The kid is not giving him, the father is giving him. How does that work? How does that work? So So that's a concept the Mishnahis have. Someone can give matzah shekel on behalf of someone else. That's Mishnahis also in the first parak in Shkon, in Gemara Sanhedrin, in Iksubis. Someone gives matzah shekel on behalf of somebody else. That's a question. Can you prove from this din of giving matzah shekel on behalf of somebody else, can you prove that it's possible to be parei achoy v'shol chaveiroi? Mishlam Melech has a question. The Mishnayis in the last parak in Ksuvis talk about Reuven owes money to Shimon, and then a third party Levi comes and he gives the money to Shimon. And Shimon accepts it. So the din is you can't do a piron bal kocha. If it's an outside, he's saying, we learned that you can't do piron bal kocha. But if it's nidaito of the malva, then you can do a piron. So when you make a piron nidaito, a third party makes a piron nidas hamalva, do you say that the chov is parua? That's the pshat, the chov is parua? Do you say no? The chov is never parua. Maybe the word is that if he accepts, the malva accepted the money, means it's implicit that he's meichel the debt to the loiva. Now that I paid him that amount of money that the loiva owes, so he's meichel the debt to the loiva. So this is a deal that the Mishlam Melech and Hilchos Malva V'Loiva raises that question. What's the nature of the din? Do you say the chov is parua? Or do you say, no, the chov, you can never make a piron. You're an outsider. Only the loiva can make a piron. Not only can you not make a piron, but korchai, can't even make a piron, he died for shalom malva. But if the outsider, the third party, gives that amount of money to the malva and he accepts it as payment for the debt, it doesn't even mean as payment. It means that the malva is meichel the debt to the loiva, he doesn't have to pay him anymore. What's an achimina? So Rabbi Chonah Vassman quotes this kasha from Abshim and Shkabu. How can anybody in his right mind think that Pirei Achav Shachaber is not Parua, but the Mishnah talks about giving Maktah Shekel on behalf of somebody else? So what are you going to say? The giver is Meichel to the other guy. The giver is not a balabas to be Meichel to the other guy. It's not a debt, it's you have to fulfill your mitzvah. So don't you see from the Mishnah that Pirei Achav Shachaber is Parua? That's what Rabbi Chonah quotes in the name of Reb Shimon. Mori Rabbi Hakoyin HaGodol, Rabbi Shimishkov, that's what he called it. He was very tall. Rabbi Chonah was also pretty tall. You have the pictures of Rabbi Chonah Vassman standing next to Rabbi Kotler, like Mutton Jeff, a giant. Next to him, Rabbi Kotler was shorter than most people, and Rabbi Chonah was taller than most people. Rabbi Shimon was also taller than most people. He's been a little 6 feet tall, a little over 6 feet tall. In Europe, they didn't have good diet, so usually most of the Europeans were shorter than most of the Americans. So that's what he calls him. He brought this raya that I don't know if it's such a good raya. You can think that maybe it's a different word over here. By giving matzah shekel on the behalf of somebody else, it's not really piron achoyv, it's a mitzvah hakdasha. Maybe it's like Magdish HaManashi is Kappa Baruch HaVeira. The Gemara learns that from Nozir, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, that there is a concept. Let's say somebody was Mechal Shabbos B'Shege, and I know he can't even afford to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. So I say, I'd like to bring for you. So he authorizes me. And then I bring the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and I say, this is a carbon chatas on behalf of Floyni. He's embarrassed, he can't afford it. So here's the carbon. Then they send a letter, carbon chatas has been offered on your behalf, that you should be yotzei with it. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk that such a thing exists. Magdish HaManashi is kapa for chaver. So maybe that's what this is. It's not parecha v'shal chaver. Maybe parecha v'shal chaver is not parua. It's just that the malva is meichel to the loiva. But over here, if you give matzah shekel on behalf of someone else, there's magdish HaManashi is kapa for chaver. By donating the matzah shekel, you get a kapar. Anyway, so the Mishnah says if the father the father has to continue to give the Machzah Shekel. Why is that he has to continue to exist? He has to continue to give the Machzah Shekel. So people always quote, people always say, the Pashm Shat is because when you do a Minik Taif, the Minik Taif is binding Mitam Neda. The Minik Taif is binding Mitam Neda. So sometimes you have to do the Minik Taif three times, sometimes you only do it once. If you did the Minik Taif once and you plan to continue to do it every year, then if you only did it once, it's already binding. If you did it once and you weren't thinking one way or the other whether you want to continue to do it every year or not, so then it's only if you did the Minik Taif three times, so then it shows that this is your Rigilus. So then if you do the Minik Taif three times, then it's Machai. So that's the way they usually say. It becomes a Minik Taif and it's binding on the father. What if the father dies? It's the pifta, so the father dies. So what? The kid is now. The kid is mechuyev. So the Bar Tanura writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, if the father died, then the apotropis is mechayiv to continue the minig of giving the machzah shekel for the kid. So the Tosi Santaf asks, where did he get that from? Why should that be so? Says the only quote to the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah. Sounds like it's a minig type. So the father is mechayiv to continue. The mechayiv takes it to say, Nishtabdu Hanachosim. Why should it be Nishtabdu Hanachosim? He concludes the last line in the Tosis Yantav there on Shkolim, and he concludes, unless you'll say that since the father accepted upon himself to give Matzah Shekel, so Nishtab the Hanachasim of the father, so in the event that the father dies and he leaves the Yerusha to the son, if the son gets the money, the Yerusha from the father, so maybe then you can say Nishtab the Hanachasim to fulfill the father's minitayv. He says he's not so sure. He says, where did the Bar Tanura get it from? He's not so convinced that that's what it means. So Rav Reuven Margolis has an interesting essay. He always, all of his essays are very cheerful. Very fascinating essay. So he has an essay about the institution of Rosh Chodesh Benson. What is the earliest source of Rosh Chodesh Benson? So he found a Talmud Yerushalmi. He thinks that the Talmud Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, it says in the Mishnah, in the end of the fifth parak in Sanhedrin, that if the Bezdin interrogates the witnesses and they ask, when did the murder happen? So they both say it was on Wednesday. Then they say, what day of the month was it? The one guy says it was the fourth of the month. Means Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. And then the other guy says it was the third day of the month. In other words, Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. But they both say it was on Wednesday. So the Mishnah says it's okay. Why is it okay? He knew when Rosh Chodesh was. One guy didn't daven in shul, so he didn't know. He doesn't daven, whatever, he made a mistake, whatever, he doesn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. So the Yerushalmi discusses the same topic that the Bavli discusses. How long do you have a right to say, what is it ready? The end of the month. The end of the month, he still say. So the Bavli says, no, up, in ad rubai, up until the second half of the month. Once it's already 16, 17, 18, then everybody should already know what day of the month it is. And if they make a mistake, so then we don't accept the witnesses. Even though they both say it happened on Wednesday. So if one says wrong, it's wrong. So then Yerushalmi has a comment about the importance of knowing when the Shredish is. So one of the Amoraim says, I would never begin to daven Musaf before I ascertained when Rosh Chodesh was. So the regular Mefarshim on Yerushalmi say he wouldn't daven Musaf on Rosh Chodesh until he knew for sure that that day was Rosh Chodesh. So they ask Kakash, the later Mefarshim ask Kakash, and what did he do for Ma'ariv Yalav Yavai and for Shachris and for Chatzi Halo? Of course he don't daven Musaf. What the Midas Chassidus, he wouldn't daven Musaf until he knew for sure this is going to be a bracha l'matolah. Of course he's not allowed to daven Musaf. What's the big tzitkis? So that's where Reuven Margolis suggests, no, it means Musaf on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't go on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, you don't begin to daven Ma'ariv until you ascertain whether today is Rosh Chodesh or today is not Rosh Chodesh. But Musaf on Shabbos, he's supposed to bench Rosh Chodesh before. He's supposed to announce when Rosh Chodesh will be before you begin to daven Musaf. Look. The Shabbos, we bench Rosh Chodesh Ador. That's why it's Parsha Shkolim. Because the Mishnah says that the Echad the Ador Mashmim Alashkolim. See, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, so that Shabbos is Parsha Shkolim. You don't say the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. Parsha Shkolim is the announcement to Yemachriz. The Echad the Ador Mashmim Alashkolim. Yemachriz on the Shkolim. See, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, you lane Parsha Shkolim, that is the Hachrozim. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out in the middle of the week, not everybody is going to show up in shul. Some people will not. So you make the hachraz on Shabbos before. The Rav Soloveitchik put it like this: and if the guy dies before Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't have any kiyum at all. The laning of Parshas Shkolim on this Shabbos, you're not getting anything. If you, we should all live till Rosh Chodesh Adar, so then we will be yotzei. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh Adar, then we yotzei the hachraz. On Rosh Chodesh Adar, we have already heard the Hachroz, but it's not a halacha. The Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. No, if Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, then you're laying in on that Shabbos. Then Be'echad Be'odor, the mitzvah to me, Mashmi'a al Ashkolim, is Be'echad Be'odor. Shloshim Yom Kodem Achad, Shloshim Yom Kodem Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when That's when the Truma Chadasha has to have the Truma. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that whenever you're laying Parshas Shkolim, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, so no one's yotze anything b'shas ma'aseh. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh and we still remember what we heard on Shabbos, then we yotze. An interesting way of looking at it. Okay, traditionally in all the shuls they make an appeal on Shabbos, Parshas Shkolim. Because that's what Shkolim is all about, to make an appeal. So, you have money, give.